AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area of southeastern Pennsylvania, New Jersey, northern Delaware, and listeners can tune in from anywhere in the world, and of course across the USA, simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and we have the Listen Live link, and you'll be able to listen to our broadcast later today also on the rebroadcast. Today around 11:45, we are going to have a special guest with us, John Ratzenberger, who many of you remember as Cliff the Mailman on Cheers and John Ratzenberger's TV show Made in America, also highlighted great American manufacturers. We'll be hearing more from him. Mark will be speaking with him, and I ask that you call around, invite family members to tune in right now, but especially be tuned for our 11:45 guest, John Ratzenberger. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you gather for your family get-togethers in a few days, it's not that far away when I say few days. Wow, who would ever believe that Christmas Eve is a week away? Well, I'm asking all of you to make a very important impression and make sure they know how important the Buy American Made campaign. Spread information about what's taking place on 6ABC with David Muir and right here on our broadcast, American Workers Radio, because we are the grassroots people who are doing the job that is going to change America around. With me in studio, I have the very well-known Larkin Connolly, and he is, as always, chipper and ready to go. And also with us, I have Rich Logis, who you know as the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and Mark Andel, who is the founder of Made in America Store, one of the people who has been helping bring this message of Buy American and bring jobs back to America for the people to really rally behind. Mark, I want to say to you, you've been unbelievable, and I know that you're going to do a great job welcoming our special guest today. And what's happening with you up there in Buffalo?
We had a great weekend. We had our All-American Christmas event, Mike, and it was awesome to see all the people that support us all year. And what I noticed different this time was I was really floored by how many people came to our store. We had Santa Claus and a big tree lighting, and it was just nice to see them totally shopping at our store. Most of them bought 90% of their Christmas gifts this year and told me, I'm only doing the shopping at your store. And that was awesome. It was our fifth annual All-American Christmas event, and it just showed me the difference people can make and we've made. And, you know, bringing the community and family and friends together was an awesome feeling. It was a big day for me just to say thank you to our customers. So that was a big event. We came out of that, and we've been reloading our stores. And, you know, we got about 8 days left here, but all the stores, Christmas shopping is on. And this is, people don't realize it's the most important days of the retail business for the United States. It's what it's all about. It comes down to, you know, a few days really, Mike, to keep your lights on and do all you do to make it and get ready for the tougher first quarter of next year.
Wonderful. Well said, Mark. I want to tell you that as people see that outsourcing really hurt America, and they see that there is not at least a 50-50 balance of everything possible in our stores, they're really starting to speak up and spend their dollars on products that are made here and assembled in the USA. Last week, I had the opportunity to go to about four stores, and I talked to the manager, and he said, well, what we've been doing is we've really been trying to highlight what we have American made for the people, and our sales clerks are real up to snuff when it comes to what do you have American made. We can go and point to it right away, which is something I've never seen or heard of in the past. Mr. Larkin, how are you doing?
Good morning, Michael. Happy holidays to you, to Mark, Rich, and Henry. Happy holidays to you and your family. I have, for the past week, been concentrating a little bit on my score activity, and would plea with everybody that if, in fact, you are a budding entrepreneur or you have a growing small business that you go to score.org, and roam around our homepage and see what kind of help you can find. We have tons of it on there for everybody.
Wonderful. And Rich, how is everything with you?
Everything's great, guys. Good morning to everyone. Really excited to have John on. Mark, thank you so much for arranging that. And Mark, I have to ask you, this is going to sound funny to tell you guys this, but, well, maybe not so funny, but there's a business here locally that I sometimes go to. I'm not going to name names. They're not here to give their side of the story, but we don't need their side of the story because what I'm telling you is the truth. They had a bunch of flags up, Mark, in their business. Numerous flags of countries, of representative of some people who live here in the area. And I have to tell you guys, missing was an American flag.
Oh, boy. Okay?
So I said to them, you need to get on madeinamericastore.com. You need to contact that business. I know the owner. And you need to put a damn American flag in this business. Because, well, we are in America, right? And, Mark, I got to tell you, I think it's going to happen today. I think it's going to happen today. That's fine. We want to have other countries flag. That's no problem. We're a diverse country, but missing was an American flag. I got to tell you, I got pretty pissed about it.
How did they treat that, Rich?
And I said,
did they
get a flag from this business?
And I want to tell you something, Mark. Rich will keep after this. They will have that flag up there.
You know, and that makes the difference. You know, you just bringing that up, Rich, noticing that. And Mike, you do such a good job at that. Wherever you are, you become that guy. But again, I remind people, that is what the power of people have, is to not only just complain, but just raise awareness. Hey, you don't have an American flag here. Well, that bothers me.
I'm not one of these guys who goes out and dresses up as Ben Franklin at an event, right? You know, these kinds of things. And it's fine if someone wants to do that. It's not what I do. But this is common sense. Just like, Mark, it's common sense to have flags, American flags, that are made here, especially the ones that are draped over deceased vets when they come back from overseas. And I have to tell you, Mark, how many people whom I know who listen to this show have brought that point up to me in the past. You brought that up a long time ago, and it really stuck with people. So this is to your point about people talking about it, not just once in a while. It's got to be an active part of the conversation. And this is why I think, Michael, that Made in America is a burgeoning movement. And it's one of these movements that people of all ethnic, racial, religious backgrounds, economic income brackets, can all get on board with and agree with.
You're absolutely right. And in fact, I would like to say that we continue the conversation week after week. That's what our broadcast is devoted to. And our supporters hear that conversation and they go out and spread the word to their family and friends and walk into the stores feeling a little more confident to speak up. That's what's really important. And I want to say right now that thank you to the many people that stopped me in my travels to let me know that they tune in and let me know what they're doing to help promote the American-made movement. Coming up is the Christmas holiday, New Year's celebrations. Maybe go out of your way and do something special. Make sure you have a flag, you know, near your Christmas tree, on your Christmas tree, something to bring the conversation about that we are supporting American-made. Larkin, what else is going on with you these days?
Well, I thought it might be an appropriate time in the program today to review my Christmas list last year that I had for Santa Claus, and to get Rich and Mark to assess how the delivery of those wishes was over the year. And then next week, which will be Christmas Eve, I'd like to deliver my Christmas list after having a consultation with both Rich and Mark. But last year, I asked Santa Claus on Christmas Day, if everybody remembers, for five things. The first one was a continuation of strong growth in the Made in America movement, and that we advance that project and initiative quickly down the road and raise the level of awareness and the performance of our consumers in America in buying things made in America. I think Mark Sessions joined our initiative during the year. That might have been a little bit of Santa Claus work and bringing the Gopher Made in America movement to our attention. And I think this afternoon, this morning, in about a half an hour, John Ratzenberger is an addition to the movement. So maybe there are some quiet things happening in the background, but I would ask Mark Andel to give me a little bit of a report of how he thought the movement performed last year.
Yes, Larkin, good question. And I think the movement's alive and well. You know, people always challenge me that it was a fad or a trend. The Made in America movement has to happen. Again, we admit a 30-year mistake. I've seen movement in just the amount of items we carry. We're up to over 6,500 products. And again, we started with 50 less than 5 years ago. Just the more products that have moved back to the country and available. Even the bigger story, Walmarts and things that recognized and grew their Made in America because people were complaining and people, you know, customers are the biggest, part of our whole lives. Customers drive every business. If you don't service a customer, somebody else will. So I see it that way. I see it on our veteran side, more recognized, and the veterans always respect quality products made here and love anybody that supports the country they defend. I see it all over. I feel strong. We're proof. We have 4 stores now. Again, we started with 1. We have 3 websites. So the movement is alive. There's more talk. There's more branding of the Made in America USA label, Made in America, on items. I see it all over. I see it on commercials. And again, the Super Bowl started this year with 3 big commercials supporting Made in America. So, Larkin, it's alive and well.
Good. And I think that's very accurate accounting, Mark. If I could read from a Boston group's report, China's overwhelming manufacturing cost advantage over the U.S. is shrinking, and it's shrinking fast. And I think we all can see that. Within 5 years, analysts conclude that rising Chinese wages and higher U.S. productivity and a weaker dollar and other factors will virtually close the gap between the U.S. and China for many of the goods that are consumed in North America. And I think that, coupled with the fact that it's very hard to manage an inventory that is generated from halfway around the world, and the fact that if you want to carry green widgets that are made in China, you have to buy a half a container load of green widgets in order to make the purchase. I think that is another factor that kind of is waking our retailers up, and also the quality that you address, Mark. I think those are the 3 things that are really kind of pushing our movement right now, but I think next year is going to be a wonderful year for us. Rich, you have anything to add to that?
I do, Larkin, and two things. First, undoubtedly the costs are catching up now between U.S. and China manufacturing. I'm going to tell you one other thing where I'm seeing, being in the, broadly speaking, technology industry, another thing that's going away is how quickly things can be made and shipped over from China. I will tell you that what used to take days, maybe weeks, is now often taking months and sometimes whole quarters of calendar years to arrive over here. So the advantages are dwindling. That's the good news. What is the potential bad news about all of this is that it just means there are other, as I've said before on air, there are other countries more developed, built up with an infrastructure, with the labor force that they didn't have 20 years ago. And now they do. And they're going to look to compete for segments of our business that maybe with some companies are looking to get out of China and some other parts of Asia there. So that's the potential bad news. And Michael, when you mentioned about our leaders, the question is, do they know this? Are they aware of this? And I agree with you, Mark, about the movement being strong. What I want to see in the coming year and in years future is more and more talk about this amongst the most visible of elected officials in our country, on the federal levels, the state levels, and on the local level, Lark, and you mentioned you had a talk and a part of your wish list about incomes and minimum wage, and we've seen local municipalities take it upon themselves
Yeah, you're jumping gun on me.
That's right, to raise this minimum wage. And I think that this particular issue, wherever one may stand on it, is going to be one of these prominent issues that's going to have the most visibility at the local level. That's what I think going forward. Now, if I'm wrong about that, then I'm wrong. But so far, the evidence is suggesting that when local municipalities, cities, towns, counties, whatever the case, want to go ahead and raise these wages, the voters go out and have a say on that. And minimum wage was overwhelmingly approved in this past midterm.
So you jumped the gun on me a little bit. So you've already made your comment about point number three. So I'm not calling on you, so don't raise your hand.
Were you looking at the list, by the way, Rich?
Number two is...
Halarkin, I'm going to put my dunce cap on.
Now, issue number two is, we wished for limiting Congress from serving more than two terms. I can even think I've seen some headway made on that and on two fronts. We were graced with John Runyon's presence on our show earlier this year, and John ran two terms and said, "I'm done." Now, I'm sure there might have been a few reasons for it, but he chose on our program to enumerate the fact that he was not running for a third term because he thought he had served his limit. And it was time for somebody else to have a chance. I think if you couple that with a guy that Rich wants to have on the program badly, and I know that we can get, and that's Congressman Fitzpatrick, he has already announced and has promised his electorate that he will not run for any more than four terms. Period. Amen. That's 8 years. Now, I don't find that offensive. I think 8 years is fine. We really ought to make the term 6 years so that he doesn't have to run four times to serve 8 years and save a whole bunch of money.
A lot of money in the process.
In the process. But so we have two examples there, John Runyon and Fitzpatrick, both, espousing term limits. And there's been a lot of talk on the congressional floor that I read about this morning. Where there are other people talking about term limits.
You know, also, Larkin, I just would like to add that this year in the National Congress and the Senate, many people stepped down after only 8, 10, or 12 years or 16 years. So we've had a little bit of a turnaround. I think it was a total of 60 people that left this year, which was good. Some retired because of age, but many of them, just like John Runyon, just said, "No, it's okay. I want to do other things in my life." And some went out because of pressure that they were not performing. So I think on that wish list, perfect.
Our third one was that all governments would be involved, federal, state, and local governments would be involved in helping us resolve the illegal immigration issue. Well, I think a couple things have happened, most of them of recent. Obama's executive decree is about to help a little over 5 million illegal aliens. And on the other end of the spectrum, although it is a little stale, there are cities like Reading, Pennsylvania, that have passed legislation and rules and executive orders that are quite the opposite. So illegal immigration, I think, is going to be a big subject in 2015. I think it's going to be addressed on all levels of government. And I would suspect that you agree with that. Rich?
Yeah, Larkin, absolutely. The way it's looking right now, this order is going to be signed, and my real concern is it's going to create the usual rancor between the R's and D's in Washington, but there are also some, from what I've read of their statements publicly, there are some visible Republicans who are talking about a need to do this. The reality, Larkin, is that they are here now. Yes, there were laws broken, but there are people who are here who are currently working and I do believe want to stay here. So there's going to be this order, and then there's going to be – that's easy for me to say, but I think that's the easy part. The hard part after that is that now they're going to be a part of the potentially working economy. And we're going to have a discussion again about skills, and we're going to have another discussion about where exactly their place economically may be. And, Larkin, guess what? I bet some of them – or might pop into your local score office.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. And you're 100% right. Essentially, this is a little on the broad sense of as far as the statement is concerned, but you make them legal and you're sticking 500, you're sticking 5 million plus people back into the ranks of the unemployed or the entry level employed individuals in this country. And that's going to put some stress on entitlement programs and also put some stress on the small business community that has been really much to their own degradation, you know, employing people that are illegal aliens and paying them under the table. So there's an awful lot to be straightened out about illegal immigration, and the answer has got to be, listen, I don't care about Democrats or Republicans. We have the problem. The problem's here. I'm tired of talking about where it came from, who caused it, who's to blame. The fact of the matter is we need to sit down and solve the problem.
We need everybody on the table, paying the taxes, part of the system, and help them get up the ladder.
So the other one was, Rich so amply discussed, bring a resolution to the minimum wage. I think we decided last year when we put the Christmas list together that $7.25 is not a living wage. It needs to be addressed. Here's what's happening, and Rich, you're 100% right because I really have the facts in front of me. 11 states have changed the minimum wage and affected it in one way or another. There are states like, not West Virginia, but I had it right in front of me and now I can't find it, but there are some states, Alabama, go figure. Alabama doesn't have a minimum wage. So what happens is they succumb to the federal minimum wage if they don't have a law that, you know, you can pass a law that raises the minimum wage, but you can't pass a law in your state saying $7.25 is too high, we want $6.25.
Now, Larkin, what was the highest minimum wage that you found?
There are some states up into the $10 and $12 range right now. Here's the deal. Obama really has kind of set the pace with his new minimum wage that he had, I believe, just passed and in effect, which is $10.15 an hour. It's either $10 or $11.15 an hour for anybody that works for a contractor who works for the federal government.
Right.
So that's already in place. And I think he's done that kind of to set the pace. We're going to have to grow into this wage. We have to raise it. There's no question. There are two things that crack me up. From the right side, what cracks me up is everybody telling me you raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour and they'll just spend it into the economy and, you know, the economy will get picked up. So what's the difference between that and Reagan's trickle-down economics? So Ronald Reagan's trickle-down economics was virtually the same theory.
Right.
So now it favors the people on the left, and so now all of a sudden trickle-down economics works.
You know, Larkin, it brings up a good point. It's time for our national leaders, our local leaders, to get together and discuss this issue publicly. We have enough places, C-SPAN, Skype, we have everything. Let's get these people on our wish list for 2015 and get them all that we could see exactly where they stand. This hiding away from everybody is not the thing to do.
We want them all on the same track, right, guys? I mean, one country, one goal, you know, to get healthy and get these things solved.
Yes. Yeah, what we have to do is we can't cry about what happened in the past. We have to take action to change what we need in the future for America. The world is growing. America really has to double its place in the world. And also, when you have things available, you don't want to have people riding around for 2 hours to pick up one item because it's made in America at a store an hour away. You don't want to do that. So you got to get the amount of products back on the street. with the U.S. labels, and that will help bring the people back to work.
And you
Mark,
know, you,
what's your point about the laughable left side, though? I want to hear this.
The laughable left side?
Yeah.
It's the fact that that all of a sudden now trickle-down economics works. You know, they couldn't stand anything that Reagan said about trickle-down economics, and that if you raised pay and if you put money on the street in business-specific ways, that you would create a trickle-down economic effect. So everybody said, nah, the left and the Democrats said, you're nuts. You're out of your mind. Trickle-down economics doesn't work. I can still hear Clinton saying trickle-down economics doesn't work. I can still hear his wife saying, Hillary, 2 weeks ago, that if you think that businesses, small businesses and corporations create jobs in this country, you're not a thinking person.
Yeah, I heard that.
That was absolutely a quote that came out of her mouth. She actually said.
Just that alone. Just that statement alone.
Oh, you have no idea. I'm gonna get that off of YouTube.
I'm
going to send that to
everyone. I crashed my car when I heard that.
Yep.
I thought, what?
Give me a copy of
that statement alone.
Yep.
That statement alone disqualifies Hillary Clinton.
Oh, I couldn't believe she said it.
Anywhere near the White House. And Larkin, if I may add one point to the minimum wage discussion. You know, it's easy to pick on the really, really big companies, so I'm going to pick on them. Let's take, for example, a Walmart. The state of Alaska was one of the states that passed minimum wage. There are 9 Walmarts in Alaska. From what I read after Election Day, those stores employ, I think the figure was 2,700 people under $10 an hour. This was an economic. So think about the fact that all of those people, like them, other states in other areas where there weren't higher wage requirements, Larkin, many of those people who are working those minimum wage jobs, they're working and they get public subsidies. So we're subsidizing low pay because the businesses won't pay. So in other words, we're using tax money to supplement what businesses could be paying.
Right. No, there's no question.
And that's got to go away. That, all that crap's got to go away because
Rich,
Walmart doesn't need – we don't need to subsidize Walmart.
Rich, you brought up a great point. Walmart, that's a master plan.
Yeah.
There are people, guys, who are working at the Best Buys, the Targets, the Walmarts of America who are working there, and they're getting public subsidies.
And, you know, Rich, the thing that is very disappointing is national leaders have refused to address this exact issue for 25 years.
And because it's my Christmas list, I get the last word. You know, you can create whatever you want in a minimum wage. You can make the minimum wage $28.95 an hour. But if you don't have any jobs, who cares what the minimum wage is?
That's right.
If there aren't any jobs, if there aren't any businesses, if there's nobody to pay the $28.95, who cares what the minimum wage is? So listen, politicians, listen, government, listen, whoever's thinks that they're running this country. It's time to do something to promote the building of small businesses and the development of jobs. And it all starts where Mark starts, which is job training. It all starts where I start, which is the assistance to help people start small businesses. And until we do that, I don't care what the minimum wage is.
Right. Our goal in 2015 is going to focus on small, medium, and large business industries. Inshoring, reshoring, whatever you want to call it, more manufacturing jobs, and that goal of 50-50 has to be promoted more than ever. Gentlemen, I have to take a 2-minute break in order to get some of our sponsors. I will be having a special program on Saturday to say thank you to all of our supporters, and a thank you to everyone that responded to our donation list. I want to mention that the Royal Cracovia is located at 510 Whitehorse Pike in South Magnolia, New Jersey. They're a restaurant offering great Polish and European food, and they're going to have a great Christmas Day brunch and a wonderful New Year's Eve party. I encourage you to check them out by going to royalcracovia.com or give them a call at 856-282-3300. And don't forget, there's still time for you to log on to Mark's store, madeinamerica.com, and purchase some of the items. Make sure that Mark gets them out to you in time for Christmas. And greetings as well to all of you as you get closer to the Christmas holiday, from Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, from Serena's Auto Body Shop, and Mr. Chester Kshanowski, from the Net Cost Market, 117,001 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia, from Mr. Joseph Drobot of the PRCUA, Polonia's oldest national fraternal life insurance organization, from Michael Steinman, who is an attorney at law in Philadelphia, from Dr. Eva Machak, who is a great dentist in the Philadelphia area with two offices, as well as from Dominic Rostotsky, who has his office on the 26th floor of 1835 Market Street in Center City, Philadelphia. Holiday season greetings also from Polka Deli, 2719 East Allegheny Avenue, as well as the Polish American Travel Service, 2714 East Allegheny Avenue in Port Richmond. And Giorgio Foods, a symbol of quality since 1928, thanks all for going out and supporting American Made. And Pat's Autos Tags has three locations in Philadelphia. For more information, give them a call at 215-427-1832. And remember that the Washington Savings Bank has five locations in Philadelphia. President Martin Bednarik invites you to stop by all of their locations. And when you do, let them know that you tune in to American Workers Radio. And Yolanda Konopatska DeCipio, attorney at law, represents clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. And Karen Janad, also from State Farm Insurance, handles auto, home, and life insurance. Give her a call at 215-862-5490. And if you want to have a great smile, Dr. Włodzimierz Zinn and his staff at Everest Dental welcome you to contact them. Give them a call at 215-671-0188. And the Polish National Alliance, which is America's largest national life insurance organization, reminds you to check on your life insurance plans and then give the PNA a call at 1-800-621-3723. And before I go back to our panelists, and as we get prepared to welcome John Ratzenberger, I want to ask you to please check out all the links on the front page of our internet site, because they do have a lot of great connections. And you'll see Clayton Hicks' site there. You'll also find a link with businesses featuring American Made. Then there's Mark Andel's store and so much more. Do check it out and spread the word. Well, Larkin, what's next?
Well, before I get back to the very last point that we made, I wanted to announce today's contest. The first person who calls in, we have a wonderful new sponsor who has a restaurant in New Jersey. And the first person who calls in with the correct answer is going to win two 45 RPM vinyl copies of Peter, Paul, and Mary singing If I Had a Hammer. It's a great prize. I'm sure everybody's going to enjoy that. The first person to call in with the answer on how to spell Royal Cracovia wins those 245 RPM records. So the last...
I love it.
So the last... I'm sorry. I digress every once in a while. The last thing we had on there was... And point five came out of nowhere. Was the tail end of that program. And it was to somehow get under control the corporate CEO salaries and bonuses that are being paid to major corporate leaders, the $145 million a year in bonuses. We never did talk about trying to get them to, you know, redo their thinking so that it's not a five-month business plan but a five-year business plan, and try to get them back to that. But we did address that issue. I don't know that I can say anything about what might have happened to that movement, but... And I think I'm going to allow Rich to address it, because I think it was Rich's was Rich's point.
I don't see you, Arkin. The numbers will be out by January, February. I suspect incomes will be comparable. I mean, if Larkin, a CEO who went from making 145 mil to, let's say he got a, you know, he got a pay cut to 140, that 5 million bucks didn't go into the hands of workers. I mean, it just didn't. It didn't get into the hands of workers. This is the voter logic behind minimum wage. By the way, Michael, your question before about highest minimum wage, unless I'm mistaken, I don't think I am, it's San Francisco. The voters there approved a $15 an hour minimum wage.
Wow.
So that's a phased in. I believe it's phased in over 2 years. And since we're on the subject of people with money, guys, and Mark, you brought up Hillary Clinton, I just want to bring up this little tidbit I read about late last week. I saw a CNBC poll where they polled 500 anonymous millionaires, and I suspect that they're probably multimillionaires and maybe billionaires, because people making $7.25 an hour at Walmart don't typically give $5 million to a super PAC. And they asked who their top two choices for president would be. You guys want to guess who came in one and two?
Oh, I want to hear it right from you.
Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush. Long live the monarchy!
I think whichever one gets nominated by their party with the largest margin should pick the other one to be vice president. Let's
double. Keep all the monarchs together.
Hell yeah. Can you imagine what kind of Thanksgiving dinner that would be at the White House? The Bushes and the Clintons all. That'd be crazy.
No, the sad part of it is, Rich, the sad part of it is we just don't have a great list of people coming forward with ideas to be a great president or a vice president. There's just nobody around.
Our appetite for royalty and monarchy clearly is virtually insatiable. I mean, look at the coverage of these two knuckleheads that came over from England, right? And they don't, you know, on the big story, they don't want to get touched by sweaty basketball players. And it was like the top story. It was the top story. And I'm thinking to myself, this is what this country was founded to get away from, right? I mean, it's part of the reason that this great country of ours, for all of our flaws as well, and believe me, we got a lot of them, and I got news for you, Hillary Clinton nor Jeb Bush is going to fix them. So who's the ones to select, Michael? I'm not really sure yet, but I think it was Henry, our engineer, told me last night, I believe, that even Barbara Bush said, we've had enough Bushes and Clintons in the White House.
Yeah, she did. She has said that more than once. I have seen her say it in a live interview on C-SPAN. She made the same comment. We've had enough Bushes. We've had enough Clintons. It's time to move on.
It is time to move on. My God. And I wish every state would put up their top person. And we have a prolonged primary as we did last time around. But everybody put up someone. Let's see what's really available state by state. I'd like to see who Pennsylvania, who Buffalo, or who New York would put up, who Florida. Well, we already know who's in Florida. But let's see what every state would bring forward as a candidate.
And, you know, whoever made the comment that we're a little shy of candidates is 100% right. I mean, I don't see any really, really great strength out there right now. And as much as I've kind of liked Chris Christie's frankness and his ability to call, the spade a spade and say, listen, we got to fix this, we got to fix that, I've always kind of admired that and his willingness to get the job done at any expense. But I'm sorry, a governor, I don't care how long you've been rooting for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't root for the Philadelphia Eagles, but if I were running for president, I wouldn't sit in the owner's box at the Philadelphia game and high five the Dallas owner every time they scored against the Eagles. That to me just lacks, well, it's either a complete lack of common sense,
right.
and just flat out stupid, or it's a level of arrogance that we've never seen before. So I'm not sure, but I don't know. His claim Monday morning in Philadelphia on the press was, I've been a Dallas fan all my life. Well, that's fine. And root for Dallas and wear the T-shirt to bed for all I care. But certainly don't go on network television high-fiving the the Dallas owner in a box in you know, on the Philadelphia field. Are you nuts?
And make sure that that T-shirt is made in America so that he gets into the bed and he has something American.
America's teams, all their T-shirts are made in America. Come on.
Let me say, I want to return to one thing that Larkin mentioned about some of the major corporations getting $100 and $145 million. I think it's time for all of our listeners, all of our supporters, to start rewarding the owners of the small businesses, the medium-sized businesses who are presenting American-made products. That's how you make change. When they don't have the money, they can't continue to give those dollars to all those top executives. Let's spread those dollars to the little people.
Well, yeah, that's a, that I'm you've caught me speechless on the subject. You really have. I believe that a man should be able to go out and earn what a man can earn. But there is a limit to this.
There's a limit, sure, because in getting that excessive salary, you're only hurting the smaller people down the line. And what person really needs that kind of money unless they're bringing such an unbelievable amount of profit into the company? I don't really think that's something we should do. And I mean, my point is, go out and support your local stores. Make sure that their profit, their small businesses are healthy after this Christmas holiday, because this is the most important time of the year, the fourth quarter. Please make it the best that you can and go out and shop American made. And as we get closer and closer to welcoming our guest, I'm going to ask Mark, who had Mr. Ratzenberger at his store during that heavy snowstorm, to really walk John through what he's been doing through his TV shows and all of his activities. Many of the people know him as Cliff on Cheers, but he's done a lot of work in advance of what he's been doing in the last just 2 years or so. So, Mark, I'm going to depend on you to handle that interview during today's broadcast. And as I said earlier, do check out all the links on our broadcast site, and that is AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You have the Listen Anytime link. And also, when you get our emails, email it out to someone else so that we'll be able to move forward. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to ask Mark Andel to welcome our guest, John Ratzenberger. What a pleasure to have you on American Workers Radio. Mark.
Yes, I'd like to welcome a good friend, and it's an honor to have this gentleman on. He's a workhorse. I met him in Vegas at the National Hardware Retail Show. He's a know-it-all man from Cheers, knew all the answers. He started on the Travel Channel's Made in America TV series. He started as a carpenter, so he knows what it is to work with his hand. He's dedicated to fixing America like we are. He just gets it. I've also hooked with John on a new project, which I think I'm wearing him down a little bit. But let's welcome John Ratzenberger. John, how you doing?
You can't wear me down, Mark. It's going to take a lot more than this. No, I enjoy, right now I'm driving through the South. As a matter of fact, right now I'm in NBC Studios in Atlanta. And, you know, doing appearances and talking about your efforts up there, the Made in America store and the gift boxes that we put together that people can go to madeinamericastore.com. and purchase and send to their loved ones. I mean, they can even send it to people they don't like. But all the products are 100% made in America, as you well know.
Yeah, John, talk about our project together and, you know, how you believe in the skilled worker shortage. And you and me both know it's a 30-year mistake. But, you know, talk about the gift box project and why it does matter and how many people it touches by putting these products in.
Well, yeah, when you put everything together, all the products in that box represents thousands of jobs. And as I explained to people too, I said, if you don't buy American-made products, your taxes go up because you put some company out of business. That company used to pay taxes into the local city hall that pays for your police, your schools, your fire department. And now that company's not there because you think you're getting a cheaper product from China, well, your taxes just went up, pal. So that cheap product you thought you got $4 cheaper is now actually $10 more expensive. And people are starting to understand that. People are starting to get it. So the message is getting out there. And people are responding.
You know, John, I loved you've been on the East Coast. A lot of the listeners don't know how much time you put into this project with me and how much you spent in the East Coast and in the West Coast. In California, I loved what you had said about the pollution. Can you talk about that, how where
sure.
it's coming from and how the environmentalists
sure.
that support it, really it's affecting them
yeah.
when they buy product?
Yeah. Well, it's what happened is the thing that always struck me as a grand irony is that, China, India, Mexico, they have no restrictions on pollution. So they pour chemicals into the rivers and the lakes and the ocean and pump pollutants into the air through the smokestacks. And because of the air currents, the ocean currents, all those pollutants end up right on the coast of California. So one-third of all of California's air pollution comes from China. And there was always the irony to me is people, supporting air, cleaner air and all that stuff. And what happened is that, they're actually causing it by buying products in China. So if you're concerned about cleaner air, cleaner water, buy American.
Absolutely. You know, another thing, go back to when you started as a carpenter, and I always said I'm a steel guy, and you said, hey, you build things that people live in. I love that, your carpenter skills. But, talk about this skilled worker shortage and what, how you started and where you came from.
Well, I was, I grew up in Bridgeport, Connecticut, which is a factory town. And so when you're growing up, as a kid, the world that you live in and that's your world, and that's where you learn from. That's through osmosis. You just absorb things. And everybody I knew how to make something or put something together or fix something. And so it was really an advantage to me to grow up in an atmosphere like that because I picked up skills along the way. And, when I was 14, I was already pretty handy. I could build stuff. So I decided I wanted to be a carpenter. That's kind of when I started. But we're losing that because we canceled shop courses. That's one of the things nationwide 30 years ago, when that Woodstock generation got into power and started doing all this social engineering on us. Well, that's one of the things that happened. It took away shop courses. And so now we've got generations of children growing up without any skills at all. I mean, I was told by the head of an aircraft manufacturing firm that kids getting out of high school go to him for jobs, and they can't even read a ruler, let alone use tools. And I know in your business, Mark, you're facing that, with people who show up for work. And so there's that, and also the perception that working with your hands is a dirty job, that this is something that's, beneath people. They should all go to college. So, our government's done that to us. The media's done that to us. Anytime you see a movie or a TV show and the plumber walks in, well, he's always made fun of. Or a carpenter, he's always trying to get one on over on you. And so the perception to a child growing up watching is like a case in point is Gomer in the Andy Griffith Show, Mayberry. Here's the guy who's a master mechanic, but they portray him as an idiot. And that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I agree with you, John. I always said, parents and guidance counselors have to make it okay to work with your hands. They can't treat it like you're doing, like you're saying something bad, like doing drugs. You got to give these kids another choice. Talk about a little bit. I love when you say drinking out of the garden hose and, problem solving was okay. I say I went to Mistake University, and I think you did too, John. We learned from our mistakes. But talk about that. It's a different child nowadays.
Well, it's also that reminds me of a famous quote from Winston Churchill, that success comes from going from failure to failure with enthusiasm. You have to fail. You have to put yourself in a position, or your parents do, then you learn from your mistakes. You learn as you do. And back then, too, we all drank from the same garden hose. We rode around on bicycles that broke, and we fixed them ourselves. But we thought we were outside playing, and what we were actually doing, we were problem solving. And we were figuring things out, figuring how things happen. And so as adults, we became more capable and self-reliant. And that's what we used to be as a nation. And I always go back to that phrase, self-reliance, because as a nation, absolutely, we have to be self-reliant. Absolutely. Do you really think we're going to succeed or we're going to exist if we have to rely on other countries for our essential goods? And that's where we're headed. So I've been trying to sound the alarm now, like a Polish Paul Revere, around the country now for close to 15 years. Here, folks, you got to wake up. This is important. I love this country, and I hate to see it lost because, you know, we can keep our heads in the sand and think that, you know, it's just a college degree and we're going to be successes. You have to know how to do something. You have to be functional. And it's great, you know, to be a brain surgeon, but you're not going to be doing any brain surgery if there's no plumber to make sure there's hot water for you to wash your hands. And it all comes together. We're all part of the same tapestry. People got to understand that.
And we talked today, I'm up to 6,500 products. We started from 50, and the difference it makes to raise awareness. I mean, that's what we do. We raise awareness. John, I know you've seen the movie, the American-made movie. You met Vincent. And that movie says, it talks about where America was, where we are today, and what we need to do for our children's future. And, how do we go forward and fix this?
Well, speaking of that movie, we're now you're talking with the, and we've got it in the school systems in the state of Georgia. And then just yesterday I had a sit down with the superintendent of schools of one of the neighboring states down here. And they want to do the same thing. So we're trying to get that film into every single school in the country so people understand and they get it. Because that movie goes a long way and explain the problem and the solutions.
You know, it's funny. Our radio panel here, Rich Larkin and Mike and the American-made movie crew, Clyde and Vincent, and, you know, we all get it. We share love of country, and, everybody challenges me. You can't be as patriotic, Mark. You know, business is about making money, and I say, well, it's about making livelihoods to me. I just think, how do we get more people? To me, it's simple. It's a super simple process. America was made on businesses. It was developed on manufacturing. No good economy can run without a good manufacturing base. We just got to keep this up. But, what do you think of government's involvement here, John?
Well, the problem with the government involvement is that the people that run the government have never had a job. I mean, we have someone right now in the White House who is the toughest job on the planet, and the man's never had a job. The man's never worked at anything. And it's not his fault. It's just the way he was raised. But the people around him, the people in the Congress and the Senate, most of them have never worked in jobs that we're talking about. We're prior to that, up to World War II and just a little bit after, everybody that came to Washington came from real life. They were farmers, business people. So they came with common sense. They brought common sense to the game. That doesn't exist anymore. I've been to Washington several times talking to different people, and they look at me like I got lobsters flying out of my ears. They just don't get it. They don't get the importance of it. They think in short-term profits, because the stockbrokers demand profits, and the CEO is going to lose his job if there's not profits there every quarter. So that's the problem with Washington, D.C. They just don't get it. So if you talk about shop classes, they just don't understand it. You might as well be speaking Polish to them. They just don't get it. That's why I do what I do, because I know I can't, right now anyway, can't go to the government and expect anyone there. A few of them do. People that come from real life, like David Perdue, I had a sit down with him today down here in Georgia. Now he's a CEO. He built businesses. He gets it.
And it's important. It's important that they get it. I said America got greedy, selfish, and lazy.
We've got to face that fact. Now, I support our veterans a lot too, John. And World War II, when you talk about the World War II, you know, these guys built America. Like you said, it's that drive that they had, and they weren't about their self, you know.
All right. And but also, I mean, we're living right now on the infrastructure that was built by our grandparents and parents. You know, people my age, I'm in my 60s. So, but it was my grandparents and parents that built the water systems, the sewer systems, the electrical grid. And we're still living on that infrastructure, and that's starting to wear down. I mean, the water system in Los Angeles is over 100 years old, and those pipes are breaking. Because we don't, there's not enough people that can fix it. And, you know, we need people to make the pipe and lay the pipe and build the bulldozers and dig the holes. And if we keep denigrating those jobs, folks, you know, you're going to have to be, you know, grab a bucket and go down to the creek for water. I mean, it's just the way it is.
And people don't realize the spider web effect of one product, like in our, you know, John Ratzenberger gift box we created. One product and how many people it touches, you know, it's just so hard to make people realize, you know, by buying one product, if it's the Slinky, you're helping not only the steel company, the manufacturer of the Slinky, the box, the paper, the glue, the ink, you know, and how many people that's connected to. And that's what I think me and you and, you know, Mike Blehosh here with American Workers Radio is trying to do, raise awareness. And, you know, it's over here, guys. It's just so simple to me.
Yeah, there's nobody immune. I mean, even the reporters that I talk to, they say, well, why is this important? So, well, the people that advertise in your magazine or on your TV show one day will go out of business because they don't have vendors, their costs are too high, and then they don't have money to advertise on your show or in your paper. And then you lose your job. And they look at me like, oh, my God, I had never thought of that. I said, that's what's at stake. The very, you know, life of the United States is at stake. We're not a nation of celebrities. You know, we're not a nation of Kardashians. You know, we actually make things that matter. And once we stop or once we lose the ability, then it's, you know, then we're basically our own garage sale.
John, I want to say thank you. This is Michael Blehosh on behalf of Larkin Connolly, Mark Andel, who is a great host. And, of course, I'm sure, John, the Polish part of you, your mom would be very proud of you. Very proud to know that you're doing such a beautiful job to support the country where they immigrated from, Austria and from Poland. I'm really very proud of you, Guy. And we hope to have you on again real soon. Mark Andel?
I'm going to go have some sauerkraut and kobasi right now.
Bardzo dobrze. Okay.
Jak się masz?
Bardzo dobrze, dziękuję. Well, from Rich Logis, Mark Andel, and Larkin Connolly, thank you for joining us. We look forward to talking to you again. Have a great Christmas, great New Year. Wesołych Świąt, wszystkiego najlepszego.
Thanks,
to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay.